still of Jesus? Are you sure you love Jesus? And why do you love Jesus? Because he first loved me. That's the reason we all ought to love him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. I'm glad that you're here today. What a beautiful day. The weather's great, and I pray that God will bless us with another sunny day tomorrow morning. God's been good to us for the last 5 years when we have our event for the community, the 5K, and he's not going to fail us now. You know, every year that we prepare for the 5K, we never give them a rain date. We just pray that God's going to supply our every need, right? Yes. And our every need for tomorrow is a good day. Amen? Amen? The title of my message today is called Burn the Boats. It was 1519 and Hernan Cortez. Has anyone heard of him? Yes. He was about to rewrite history in the New World. 600 of his men from Spain, 11 boats and about 16 horses were traveling to reach this vast plateau that is called Mexico. Hernan Cortez knew what had happened the previous 600 years.
Your access to this secure website is
guess what happened for the last 600 years? No one can conquest the land of Mexico.
Please
it was too big.
Customer support
the military
to
was too strong.
Issue.
And Hernan Cortez had so many things behind them. Number one, he was outnumbered. Number two, his men didn't have enough weaponry. Number three, they were going to somewhere they've never been before. So there he is with 600 of his men in Mexico. They landed. Hernan Cortez knew what was in front of him. And instead of charging immediately into the unknown, he did something different. He spoke to his men day after day in the beach. He gathered them there, and he spoke to them about their future glories. He spoke to them about the victory that they were going to have. He actually created victory in their mind already. They were so convinced they were going to win because of the orations, the way he spoke, that they can taste victory. And just to clear any doubt in their mind, Hernan Cortez said these three words, burn the boats. Now to any person, any logical thinking person, he did something crazy. Because if they would have gone to war, which they did, but if they were outnumbered, if they were being defeated, they were on their retreat, they had no boat to go back home in. So they had two choices. The first choice was to win. And the second choice was to die trying. And fought they did, and they accomplished something. They gained victory. Because for them, there was no turning back. And for Hernan Cortez, when he said those three words of burn the boats, in a crazy way, he knew exactly what he was doing. And by God's grace today, we're going to be talking about burning our boats in our lives. Let's have another word of prayer. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another day of life you have given us. We thank you for all the multiple blessings. Lord, Mark said everything that you need to hear, but once again, I'm going to ask that you may be with us in a special way. May your Holy Spirit guide us into all truth as we open up your word. Be with me, I pray. And if there's anyone else on the way, we pray for traveling mercies. All these things I ask in your holy name. Amen. Burn the boats. In Philippians 3:12 through 14, that was read before by Sister Maria Gonzalez, it says, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's no coincidence today that this sermon is about a spiritual race and tomorrow's a 5K. I wasn't planning that at all. I believe Providence, thank you. I don't believe in coincidences. Coincidences don't exist in the Christian life. It was providence. And that's why today we have a spiritual race before us. Let us not kid ourselves, my friends. This spiritual race we are now in is times. It's tough. And sometimes we feel like the best way is to retreat and to quit. But just remember, that's what Satan wants. He wants us to turn around. He wants us to get on our boats and go away. But today, by God's grace, I want to share four types of boats that we need to burn in order to press on to the finish line, to receive our prize. Amen? So I pray for the Holy Spirit and clarity as I share this message. What are we doing that is taking the time away from studying the Word of God? Are we studying the Word of God the way we should be? Don't answer that. It is time to burn the boats of secular books, of novels, of magazines, of movies, of TV shows, of devotionals, etc., worldly entertainment, you name it. Anything that takes away time from studying the Bible and does not lift up Christ, it's time to burn those boats. These things should never take the place for the Word of God. You know, I'll be cautious even to say that we should not uphold, bless you, even Adventist authors as the ultimate Word of God. God's Word is our ultimate Word right here. The Bible should always be the final answer to life's questions, concerns, and also doubts. In Matthew 4, verse 4, what does the Bible say, those that remember? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 17, 17, Jesus said these words, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So over and over, the Bible says that the word is truth. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of souls and spirit, and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Daily we must learn the meaning of self-surrender. And how do we do? How do we learn self-surrender? By studying the Word of God. We must study the Word of God, learning its meaning and obeying its precepts. Thus, we may reach the standard of Christian excellence. We need to burn the boats of idleness and always focus on the Word of God. In Matthew 28:19, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What else? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. According to this verse, what does it mean? The Sabbath school lesson quarterly that we've been studying week after week discusses Jesus' method of evangelism. What was Jesus' method of evangelism, anyone? How did he win the hearts of the people? He met their needs, right? He mingled with the people. And then at the end, he bade them, follow me. It is time for us to burn the bolts of distraction that keep us from doing evangelism. We should burn the bolts on all the myths that evangelism doesn't work anymore, that we're in a postmodern world, that this will not work. Let me tell you, in Jesus' time, it was already a postmodern world. In Paul's time, it was a postmodern world. So we have to get rid of those myths that we cannot do evangelism anymore. It is time that we as Adventists stop spending all our time on worldly entertainment. We should spend on leading others to Jesus. For this mission is not nearly a suggestion, but a command by Jesus himself. In 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 5, I have a couple of Bible verses, so if you don't have time to find them, I encourage you to write them down. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 5, and it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." A little side note about Paul. I'm going to be jumping back and forth and intertwine Paul into the sermon. Paul talked about a race he's been in. He was going to face, that he has to endure. He encouraged Timothy to run the race. And at the end, he says, "I have fought the good fight." So in between the sermon, I'm going to intertwine Paul. By the way, when Paul says to 2 Timothy, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You know, there's a story about Nero. He was one of the cruelest emperors at the time. He used to cheat a lot. When there was, he was in the Olympics and he would win all the time. He would, at that time, it wasn't a gold medal. It was an olive wreath that they should get, that they would give the victors. And he would put more horses on his carriage to win the race. If they were only allowed four, he would have eight. If he would bribe the other horse racers so he can win. And he would go back to his hometown with the olive wreath over his head. So he would cheat all the time. And I believe that's why Paul used to say this, that he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules, because Nero did not play according to the rules. In Luke 9:62, but Jesus said, "He that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fitting for the kingdom of God." So there's something for us to do. We have to burn the boats of the time we consume that we could be doing evangelism. No one serving as a soldier should involve himself in civilian business that divides a soldier's time and energy. The minister should be dedicated to the one great task of preaching the gospel. True, it may be necessary for him on occasion to engage in some secular activity, as Paul was a tent maker. And you fill in the blank on what your profession is, unless you're in the ministry as in a pastor, a Bible worker, but although we all should be in full-time ministry. But in such instances, the secular activity is but necessary means to the great end of effectively preaching the gospel. Who are we building up? We who are building up a strong, symmetrical character, we who would be a well-balanced Christian, must give all and do all for Christ. For the Redeemer will not accept the divided service. We must burn the boats of evangelism, witnessing myths and fears, and always focus on the mission. Amen. Now, how would you explain to someone the gospel? I'm going to make this a little hard, and just to make sure you're awake, I want to ask you guys a question. How would you explain to someone the gospel in one verse? Just one, not two, not three. Now, there's no wrong answers, by the way, and we're not judging anyone, but what would you use? I have one, but I'll use the last. So, okay, John 3:16, great. Anyone else? Don't be afraid. I'm sorry? Matthew 6:33 was, "says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," right? I have one, since no one else is going to speak. I like the one found in Matthew 1:21, where it says, "For she shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. That's the one I like to share. But there's many others. I was just making sure everyone here was awake. So the first boat we should burn is the one that takes time from studying the Word of God. The second one we should burn is the time we're taken away from the mission that God has entrusted to us. The third boat, it is time for us to burn the boats of fear, doubt, insecurity, indifference, and negativity. What do all these boats lead to when we have doubt, fear, negativity, insecurity? I believe it tends to lead to gossiping, to backbiting, to slandering, to putting others down. Because if we're jealous of other people, we're not going to say anything positive of someone. We're going to try to bring them down because we are down. It's time to burn our boats of pride, of lack of forgiving, of envy, jealousy, and deceit. By the way, this is a big boat of the four. This is a loaded boat. This has everyone inside this boat. Not, I mean you, but just figuratively. As we put our trust in Jesus, He is the only one that can help us. We must, with God's help, strive to be good examples to our immediate sphere of influence. Our example and how we carry ourselves might be the only Bible someone may read in their whole lives. Let us remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. We should always focus on the positive. By the way, this third boat is a boat of negativity, if you haven't already realized it. We should always focus on the positive. In Matthew 6:33, what Sister Edie said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We should always focus on the positive. In Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We should always focus on the positive. The only way we will endure this life of hardship will be always to have a positive attitude and a merry heart. Is it easy? Of course not. It is not. We're going to have our trials. We're going to have our defeats. We're going to be set back a couple of feet, but we have to press on, like Paul says. We have to continue the Christian race. We should always be positive. You know, and I wanted to talk to quickly something positive about every 5K. We always have an individual that always says, you know what? You need my shirt, I'll give you my shirt. Because he sees that we're running out of shirts or someone needs a shirt. And they always say, you know what? Give them my shirt. That's all right. I have others. And that's the way we should be. We should always be positive. Now, tomorrow you might hear someone complain. Let's think of the positive. If it's raining, hey, at least it's not 100 degrees. If it's 100 degrees, hey, at least it's not raining. You know, I'm sure we can find something positive to say. If it's snowing, hey, at least it's not raining. You know, but in the Christian life, we should always find something positive to say. Because we should never be bringing people down. You know, they say misery loves company, right? It's true. Misery loves company, but we don't want to be around miserable Christians. That's an oxymoron. A negative, miserable Christian. We should always strive to be positive, and we could only do it by God's help. You know who was very positive? Paul was. If we open up our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now remember, Paul's in a Philippian prison. That was a Bible verse I used today. He was in a prison, right? And he gave words of encouragement and of joy inside a prison to the Philippian Christians and to Timothy. Now imagine if you were stuck in a prison, wrongfully accused for spreading the gospel, and here he is in encouraging the Christian believers in Philippi. He was a dungeon. Yes, thank you. He was in the worst that you can be in. Wrongfully accused for spreading the gospel. Now, who else can speak of being negative than Paul? Well, Jesus could, of course. But Paul as well. If you open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 23. Verse 23 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. And it says, I hear a couple more pages, so I'll give you a second. Sounds like they're ending. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers, more abundantly. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In death, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 times he was whipped. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeying, often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watching often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which come upon me are daily. Paul is a person who could have been a negative individual. When was the last time you were left for dead? When was the last time you were hungry and cold and naked? When was the last time you were shipwrecked? But what did Paul do? He pressed on. He encouraged the Christian believers. There's a finish line. We have to press on. He's in a Philippian dungeon. And he's encouraging the members of Philippi to press on. He's encouraging Timothy to let's continue this race. We have to keep on going. So what more person that could have been negative was positive than Paul? Let us burn the boats of negativity and always focus on the positive. Amen? Amen. Lastly, we have a fourth boat. We have made it this far, and it would sadden the heart of Jesus for us to get in our boats and just turn around. Jesus has not brought us this far without a plan. He is not going to bring us to the finish line without being with us each and every step of the way. Paul said to Timothy, "Press on, my friend. We have all these battles, and in order for us to be victorious over the spiritual battles in our lives or the spiritual race, we need to focus on the finish line." In 1 Corinthians 9:25, the Bible says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Tomorrow, some of you may be competing for a perishable crown, a medal, which is okay. But every single day, we compete for an imperishable crown that the Lord Jesus will give us on that day. Amen. By God's grace. We need to focus on the finish line. We need to focus on the prize. In Philippians 4:13, Paul says, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We need to burn the boats of surrender, of defeat. So we won't have a chance to retreat because there's no turning back. I don't want to run the race any longer. I need to press on. I need to press on. We need to burn the boats. We need to realize that the finish line is Christ Jesus and His righteousness. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us or ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finishing of our faith." We have to look to Jesus. He's on the finish line waiting for us. In Psalm 16, verse 8, the Word of God says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." In Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, "Set your affections on things of heaven or earth, on things above, and not things of this earth," or things below, the Bible says, other versions. So we should set our affections on the heavenly, onward and upward, my friends. That is the message today. Never focus your sight on men. Never focus your sight on church leaders, on pastors, etc. Always focus on Jesus and center your gospel on Jesus only. Why do I say that? Because I'm going to fail you. The pastor one day might fail you. The elders, the leaders, Elder Wilson, the conference president, someone, someday they might fail you, but Jesus will never fail you. We have to focus everything on Jesus and his righteousness. He is on the finish line, not me, not the pastors. Jesus is on the finish line. If we have a clear target to our finish line, we will finish the spiritual race. The fourth boat we have to burn is the boat of surrender. We have to always focus on Jesus and Jesus only. So those are the four boats we have to burn. And I want to make an appeal today. And I'm going to make it short and to the point. Which boat do you have to burn today? Do you have one? Do you have two? Only Jesus knows. He knows the boats you have to burn today. You might not have a boat to burn. You might be on the right path as Paul is going or was. But some of us might have a boat to burn today. And I ask, if you have a boat to burn, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I'm going to have a special prayer. And by God's grace, we're going to leave the boats here. And they're going to burn here. And during the week, when someone comes to vacuum here, they're going to vacuum up all the ashes of the boats. Because we're going to leave them behind. You know, Jesus says in the Bible, in Revelation 2, verse 10, be faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Jesus will say to you, by God's grace, on one day, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful among a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I paraphrase it a little, but that's what Jesus wants to say to us today. If you can, please kneel as we pray. I'll pray from up here, but I also need to burn a boat.